Biblical hope is what allows Christians to live at peace with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares with us how to have faith when others fear.
Listen, God is calling for people today. If we're going to be ready when Jesus comes, we need to make sure we're born again the Bible way, that we're saved. We need to make sure that we're not mocking at separation like some would do, but that we're saying, hey, listen, Jesus wants me to purify myself even as He is pure. The promise of His coming is sure because Jesus said, I will come again.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series, Reasons for Our Hope, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn more about the hope Jesus Christ came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In today's message, you will be assured that no matter how hopeless your situation may seem, with Christ, there is always hope. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called An Expected Coming.
It seems like one of the most often asked questions that people ask me is, do you think we're living in the last days? Do you think maybe these wars have anything to do with Bible prophecy? Sometimes maybe I'll be in a restaurant somewhere or a public place and just talking to someone, they'll find out that I'm a pastor and they'll ask a question like that. Do you think we're living in the last days? And it's certainly a question worth pondering. It's something that many families even discuss. Some friends of ours a while back were in a process of trying to train their three-year-old son in how to give the recording for the answering machine. How many of you have ever called a friend or a neighbor and on the other end was their little child saying something on the answering machine? So they thought that would be a cute idea. And so they were training him and they said, now say it just like this. Mommy and Daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you'll leave your name and phone number and a brief message, they'll get back to you as soon as possible. So they went over that 10 or 12 times with this little tyke, and they said, just say it over and over again. Finally, the time came. They hit the record button, and the little fellow said, Mommy and Daddy can't come to the phone right now, but if you'll leave your name and phone number and a brief message, they'll get back to you as soon as Jesus comes. Now, they'd been talking about it, but his thought process was a little convoluted, and that's how a lot of preaching on this subject is. It's just a little bit of this and that, but it doesn't really tie together, and yet the fact of the matter is that we as believers, those of us who are saved, I do not mean those of us who have merely been baptized or through a catechism or believe in a God somewhere. I mean those who have received Christ as Savior, those who have made that decision have the hope of an expected appearance. You have the hope of knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again for you. And there are many indications that we are living in the last days. I've listed some of them in the outline in your notes this morning. Several different things the Bible says about the last days. And we're not looking for signs as much as we at this church believe we're to be looking for the Savior. But the Bible does indicate that there will be various happenings in the last times. For example, Matthew 24, 6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And there certainly has been an increase in wars and rumors of wars. In the book of Ezekiel, chapters 36 and 37, there's a tremendous prophecy that we'll not take time to go into this morning, but it deals with the revival of the children of Israel and their coming back together to their land. And many people, when they would hear about that particular prophecy, they would say, well, how can this be true? How could Jesus come again to Israel? Israel doesn't even exist as a nation anymore, and because of the dispersion and because of anti-Semitism, the Jewish people were all scattered around the world. But then in 1948, something happened that really changed world history, and that was the formation of the Jewish state. And because Israel has become a nation, so many Bible prophecies now have been fulfilled and are ready to be fulfilled. And so Israel's return to the land was a tremendous sign to Bible students that we're living in the last days. Another sign is the false prophets. The Bible says in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And it seems like from the Jim Joneses to the David Koreshes and everybody else in between, there are many self-proclaimed messiahs running around the world today, leading people astray. And then in Daniel 12:4, just a little tidbit there that I find interesting concerning increased transportation and technology. The Bible says in Daniel 12:4, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And boy, there's never been a day like today where people run to and fro with transportation and flight, and all of the modern technology has increased the knowledge factor. In fact, most of you are aware that we're living now in the information age. And in the information age, the Bible has told us that knowledge will increase in the last times, and we see that happening today as well. Another indication is the rise of occult practice. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And again, I'll not take the time to delineate this in great depth, but there are seducing spirits abounding on this planet today. They are leading men and women away from Christ, away from the Bible, away from everything that is sacred. There are people literally under the influence and the power of Satan today to the point that they're not only involving themselves in various forms of readings and activities, but literally some of them giving up their bodies in ways that are wicked and wrong, whether it be branding, whether it be getting into some activity where instead of seeing their body as the temple of the Lord, they're piercing, branding, and doing all other kinds of things. Why is that? I believe it's a satanic influence on the world in which we live. Why else would someone put skulls, dragons, and snakes all over themselves? My friend, you'll not find in the Bible anything that would lead you to do such a thing. But there's a wicked influence coming across the world today. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, 2, people have their consciences seared with a hot iron. Did you hear that? They have their consciences seared with a hot iron. People say, it's my right, my way to do whatever I want. You know why? They are past feeling. They can't even feel the convicting power of God. They are so far into sin. And I believe this occult practice and this wickedness of which I speak to be a sign of the last days in which we live. Well, there are many others. How about diseases and earthquakes? The Bible says in Luke 21:11, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Notice the word pestilences. And that is a word sometimes used for the word diseases. And whether it's HIV or whether it's SARS or whatever it is, we hear more and more of viruses, diseases, and sicknesses that we didn't even know about 50 years ago. Now, we could go on. I don't want to depress you this morning. We could go on with signs that this old world is rickety and ratcheting down towards the end. But you know what? If you're a born-again child of God, it's not all that discouraging, because what this tells us is that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. That we have something to look forward to other than to sit around here and rot in this world in which we live. We have a hope today. We have the anticipation of Jesus Christ coming again. Every New Testament writer wrote about it, and every one of us can look forward to it. And it's found here in our text this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says it, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to read this with me, Titus 2:13, ready, begin. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One more time, let's read it a little louder, ready, begin. Looking for... Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the great God, and if you have accepted Him as your Savior, then He is your blessed hope. Now, I wonder this morning, do you have the blessed hope? Do you have hope that Jesus Christ is coming again? Do you have hope that He is coming for you? I want to speak to you this morning about this hope, this expected appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, notice if you would this morning, the promise of His coming. The promise of His coming. Jesus Christ gives us a promise that every single one of us can claim. And the Bible tells us that His coming is a promise that is a sure coming. It is a sure coming. Here in verse number 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope. Now, the word looking for means to expect. It means something that we are to be living in an expectant way as we are looking for Jesus to come again. Now, why would we have that expectancy? Why would we be looking for him to come again? Well, notice in your notes there in John chapter 14 and verse 2, and let's hear the words of Jesus himself. Let's hear what Jesus Christ said. You say, well, I don't like some things that you've said already this morning. That's all right. But how about what Jesus says? Let's hear what Jesus says. John 14, 2, it says this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now capture those words, I will come again. Now, even as General Douglas MacArthur said on the Philippine Islands, I will come again, or I will return, and he certainly did return, and he brought liberation, even as that promise was kept. May I say to you a thousand, tens of thousand times more so, if Jesus Christ says something, you can mark it down, he will keep his word, and he will return. If you've ever visited the Capitol in Washington, D.C., you look up into the rotunda and you see all the art and all the inscriptions and such. And as we were visiting there years ago, there was an inscription that was brought to our attention which said, and I quote, "One far off divine event toward which the whole creation moves." Let me say it again. One far off divine event toward which the whole of creation moves. And I said to the tour guide, I said, what exactly is meant by this statement? One far off divine event toward which the whole of creation moves. And as I asked the question, this person, though probably not a Christian with the exact way the answer was given, but having some knowledge of the faith of the founding fathers, said, I don't understand everything about that inscription, but I believe there were some of the founders who believed in something like that, like kind of like Jesus was going to come again to the world. And so they were sort of expecting that as kind of their ultimate way of viewing things. Now, the way that the guide explained it was not all that theologically profound. But I've got to tell you something. Our founders believe, many of them, that great divine event towards which the whole creation is moving is the day when Jesus Christ will come again. And my friend, it is a sure coming, and you might as well mark it down. The same Jesus who emptied the tomb on the third day will come again. It is a sure coming, and it will be a sudden coming. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ is going to come. He is going to come suddenly, and he is going to come for those who have professed faith in him as their Savior. D.L. Moody, the great preacher of last generation, who founded not only Moody Bible Institute, but also the Northfield Schools in Massachusetts and preached to millions of people. D.L. Moody once was quoted as saying, I never preach a sermon without thinking that possibly the Lord could come before I finish that sermon. G. Campbell Morgan, the great British expositor, also said, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. I am not looking for death. I am looking for him. Now, I wonder if we'd get up and if we'd begin every day thinking that Jesus Christ could come today, would it change the way we lived every day? If we would recognize every morning, this could be the dawning of that day. This could be the day when Jesus calls us home. Would we live differently as husbands and wives? Would we live differently at work? Would we witness for Christ? You see, the promise of his coming is something that true Christians must reckon with today, and we must let it affect our lives. Not just the way we talk about prophecy, but the way we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of his coming. Jesus said, I will come again. Say that with me, please. I will come again. Now that's Jesus speaking. That's the word of God. I will come again. And all I'm saying to you today, I believe church is a place that ought to help us get ready for that day. Now, I believe we need to be reminded of the fact that this life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, James says, and then it's gone. It vanishes away. We need to be prepared for the day when Jesus Christ will come again. So the promise of his coming, it's a sure promise. Notice, secondly, the presentation of his coming. The presentation of his coming. Now, Jesus Christ will present himself at the second coming, if you will, in two venues or at two occasions. And there will first of all be the rapture or the catching away of the church, the believers. And there will secondly be the time when Jesus comes in righteous judgment on this earth. Notice first of all this morning, the presentation to his church or the rapture. The time when Jesus Christ will present himself to the church. He will make himself known and he will draw us to himself. Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think this is one of the most wonderful passages of Scripture in the Bible. And it's a passage that every Christian should often visit and should find great comfort from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think personally that the Thessalonican church had written to the Apostle Paul with questions about when would Jesus come and what about those that had died already before he had come. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. I believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that when someone dies that they're immediately with the Lord in heaven. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. I believe that our souls have consciousness. I believe that people in heaven have conscious awareness of not only the Lord but of what's happening here on this earth. And they're perhaps watching us as we run our race, Hebrews says. But on that day, I believe that at the time of the rapture, every believer will receive a glorified body. We will see him. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will meet them. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we will meet the Lord in the air. Now notice in verse 17 those words "caught up." And if you underline in your Bible, take note of that. Caught up. The Latin word there is the word rapturo, from which the English word rapture is derived. That's why we call it the rapture. Now watch this. Just like a magnet will draw steel up to itself, so Jesus Christ will draw everyone who has his spirit in them up to himself. Someone says, how's that going to happen? Perhaps millions of Christians coming up like that. How's that going to happen? I don't know. I don't have to know how God's going to do everything. I just believe that the God who created this world in 7 days, 6 days, is the same God who can capture me up, rapture me up to be with him. I just believe God's able to do that. And I'm thankful that he is able to do that. And so we see that we will be caught up to be with the Lord. Now, thank the Lord that every believer will be caught up. Now, I don't know how many that will be. And there's a lot of people in churches who've never been born again the Bible way. There's no fruit in their lives. There's constant frustration, whatever the case. So what I'm saying is I don't know how many are saved, but I believe there's a good number. There's a remnant of people that are saved on this planet. And can you imagine that if a few airline pilots who were saved said, hey, sorry, 40,000 feet's high, but I'm going a little higher. Could you imagine? And I know this is going to take an imagination. Could you imagine if there were a few saved commuters on the freeway? Say, I don't know if there's even a few, Pastor. There might be a few. You're on there. Could you imagine the traffic jams if a few of those cars were vacated? See, when Tim LaHaye wrote his series Left Behind, that's what he's talking about. Those that are without Christ are left behind. Those that are in Christ are caught up. And they will meet the Lord in the air. Now, how's this going to happen? The Lord will descend personally. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, the angel said to the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee," verse 11, "why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so coming in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." 1 John 3, 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And my friend, one day Jesus Christ will appear in the heavens, and all who have been born again by the Spirit of God, who have his Spirit in them, will be raptured up to meet him in the air. And I want you to know the presentation to the church will take place in the form of the rapturing away or the catching away of those who have put their faith in Christ. Do you have that hope in you today that you will meet the Lord in the air, and so you will ever be with the Lord? Notice not only the presentation to the church, but secondly, the presentation to the world. The presentation to the world. Now, the world will see Jesus at another time. And the Bible tells us that this time is a time when Jesus will come not to take the saints off of the earth, but this is a time when he will come to bring righteous judgment upon the earth. This world that has rejected him, this world that literally will gather at the Valley of Megiddo for the Battle of Armageddon to destroy Christ, this world that will hate him, this world that has followed the Antichrist, has taken the mark of the beast, this world that has rejected Christ and has tried in every way to find peace except with Christ, now he will come in judgment. Revelation 19 and verse 16 says that he will have on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, 10 and 13 says that he will come with his vesture dipped in blood, and he will come in wrath and in judgment. In other words, he is going to make all the wrongs right. He is going to judge those who have rejected him. Finally, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he will set up his throne, from which he will rule and reign according to the promise that he gave to David, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Notice, if you would, just a quick chart, and just to show the presentation of his coming. We live right now in the church age. From the time of the cross of Christ, sometimes we call it the age of grace. And by the way, this is the time when anyone can be saved. Aren't you glad for that? Anyone, the age of grace, through the cross of Christ. But at the end of this age, there will be the rapture or the catching away of the church, which will begin a 7-year period of great difficult tribulation. The Bible speaks of this tribulation as a time when there will be much in the way of bloodshed and plagues and difficulties upon this world. Now, at first, the world will think that their new ruler, the Antichrist, will provide a utopian environment. But at the middle of that 7-year period, there will be an unleashing of wrath like the world has never known. At the end of that time, Jesus will come literally, physically, to the earth. And he will establish his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, literally ruling and finally bringing world peace. The world, though they will try to gather against Christ, will be judged and will be destroyed. At the second coming, those who oppose him will be destroyed. Now, here we see this morning in the scriptures that God has given us the promise of his coming. Jesus said, "I will come again." And the presentation of the coming, the church will be caught away, and the world will be judged by him at his second coming, where his kingdom will then be established. Now, let's go back to our text, Titus 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.